verse 46, sorry. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. And during the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put food grown in the fields surrounding it. And Joseph stored up large quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. And then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the world. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together this morning. We just thank you for the storehouses of your blessing that are full and overflowing. And Father, we ask that you would open the storehouse of your blessing upon us this morning, individually, as a church, because Lord, we know all that we have has come from you and is provided by you. And Lord, you are the giver of all good things. Good measure, pressed down, more than we can even imagine. So Lord, through your word this morning, just encourage us. Just thank you, Lord, for the refreshing that you bring, for the showers of blessing that come from you as you open your hand upon us. And Lord, in your goodness and in your grace and mercy. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When we last seen Joseph a couple weeks ago, he had been elevated from being a prisoner to the palace, where he had been in prison for several years, and maybe 13 years of his time had passed from when he was sold as a slave by his brothers until he was elevated. And his life had changed in one moment when God had stepped in. And we had learned the last time we were together in those times in our life, God steps in unexpected ways. And God steps in when things are desperate. And God steps in and works in ways that we can never, ever imagine or dream. This morning, now we see Joseph beginning to execute the plan that God had revealed. As Pharaoh had those dreams, and as we looked at the last time we were together, and that God had spoken and revealed his sovereign plan through Pharaoh's dreams, and now Joseph's about ready to execute that. During the 7 years, the first 7 years, the land produced of abundance, produced so much that it says Joseph here began to store it away in the cities. So much so in the abundance that they couldn't even keep account of all that it had produced. But then just as God had said, through those 7 years of abundance, 7 years of famine came. And the 7 years of famine got so intense that the people began to cry out for food. And through the abundance and through the provision that Joseph was able to store up through his planning, they were cared for. This, as I studied and thought of this, I focused on this message for this week and pondered what these reflected on this scripture. I saw three main ways in which God provides blessings to us. Because really this whole chapter and this whole portion is about the blessings of God being showered upon us. And we all know that hymn showers a blessing, and that's our focus this morning, is that God showers us with blessings in so many ways in our life and in his goodness. And we want to focus in on that this morning and pray that God will bless us anew and afresh as we look at his word this morning as we continue in the story of Joseph. Because see, God blesses, sends showers of blessing, and he blesses faithful and diligent service done in his name. And one of the ways to experience the power, shower of blessing in your life is to diligently and faithfully serve him. As we see Joseph's life here, Joseph had been gifted by God with the gift of administration. As we read about his life, he was one that definitely could organize and administrate, to come up with this plan of how to organize and to store all the food and to store it in barns and to plan for 7 years of famine. And God had gifted him with leadership and administration and discernment. And he was able to share with Pharaoh a plan, and not only do that, but execute it and carry it out. And those were the gifts that God had given him, and he diligently and faithfully used them. And see the end result of that. It says at verse 49 that Joseph stored up in the huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea, and it was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. They couldn't even count how much it was. And the blessing and the grain that had been produced during those years, and God had blessed his faithfulness. God had blessed his diligent service and the using of his gifts and poured out showers of blessing upon him and through that others to others as well. One of the ways God sends a shower of blessing on your life and through you to others is by you and I diligently using God and faithfully serving God with the gifts he's given us. But in order to do that, we need to know what they are. And asking God to reveal those to you, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, God has gifted you. And he's given every single one of us a gift to do and to use for him faithfully. And he wants us to faithfully use that because we are accountable to that. And someday when we stand before him, he's going to ask us how we've used those gifts that he's given us for his kingdom and for his use. And he blesses that when it's faithful and when it's diligent. And notice, Joseph was diligent. He worked hard. He executed the plan well. And God wants us to be the same. Faithful, diligent service. God never saved us to sit back, to twiddle our thumbs, and to wait for his return. He wants us all to be engaged in the building of the kingdom in some way or another. Amen? He wants us all to be doing something for him in many small ways. And it doesn't matter. Even a cup of water given in his name, he blesses. And he rewards. And he uses that to send showers of blessing, not only in your life, but in the lives of others too. Faithful and diligent service done in his name. But secondly, he blesses the lives of those who trust in his name. As we go to verses 50 to 52, it kind of seems out of place. The story is talking about how Joseph, during those 7 years of plenty, used the gifts that God had given him through the gifts of administration, the blessings came. And then at the end of the chapter, we talk about the 7 years of famine. But right smack in the middle, it talks about the birth of Joseph's kids. And you say, well, that seems kind of out of place. Why did Moses, the Holy Spirit, lead Moses to put that in here? But children were seen in that time as a blessing from God. Whenever you received children, it was considered your life was blessed. And for people that did not have children, it was looked like God, for some reason, they did not have the blessing of God upon them. And that's how it was seen in that culture in that time. And so it mentioned about the blessing of the children, that God had given him children, and he gave them special names. Because through his children, God had blessed him. And the names that Joseph chose for his children were special. Now, it says earlier in the chapter that the Pharaoh had given Joseph a wife when he had elevated him into position of leadership and made him second in command of all of Egypt. He gave him a wife. And it says his wife was the daughter of the priest of On. Her name was Potiphera. She was Egyptian. But yet, notice the names that he gave his children were not Egyptian, they were Hebrew. And he wanted to know, and he wanted his children to know, that their heritage was from God. And he made sure that they would understand the fact that they were of who they really belonged to. But he named the first one Manasseh. And say, so why is that important? Manasseh and Ephraim were going to become the names of the tribes of Israel, two of the tribes, and there's no tribes of Joseph, the double blessing, and that Joseph was receiving a double blessing here, twofold. But Manasseh meant, it is because God made me forget all my trouble and my father's household. And as Joseph was blessed and God showered the blessings in his life, he was thankful that God had blessed him personally because he trusted in him. In the midst of all that he'd gone through, as he was sold into slave, as he was put into prison for something he didn't do, as he had suffered unjustly, as he was forgotten and left to be and languished in that prison cell as we had seen, and through all of that, he continued to trust in God. And God blessed his life. And he honored that by giving his child name Manasseh, which means that he enables us to forget the dysfunction of the past. And that's one of the ways that God works in our life. Now remember, as we started this series with Joseph, we looked about his dysfunctional family. And we had seen about the kind of dysfunction that Joseph grew up in. And he named him Manasseh, that every time he would say his child's name, he said, God has been so good to me. He enabled me to forget all that dysfunction, all that I had gone through with my family and all that upbringing. And God had enabled him to rise above that. And we talked about that before, how God puts that out of our, God can help us put that in our past. That doesn't identify who we are. We don't let our past identify our dysfunction and the pain and the failures of the past identify us anymore. But we belong to Christ, and he looks and calls us by his name and gives us that new name. We can be thankful that one of the ways God sends showers of blessing into our life is that when he looks at us, you and I, in Jesus, he sees that new name that he's given you, and he forgets all the pain, all the failure, all the sin of the past. Aren't you thankful? That is gone. And he doesn't see that anymore. He forgets that. And if he... Manasseh means he enables us to forget that too, so that we can put that behind us and we can rise above it and know that we are new creations and creatures in Jesus, and the past is gone and all has become new. I am thankful for that. That's one of the greatest blessings in my life, to know that I told you about the dysfunction of the past in my life, and to know that that can be gone and forgot about through Jesus. Praise him. It's one of the blessings. And also he enables us to be faithful in the midst of suffering. The name Ephraim means that he has enabled me to be faithful and fruitful in the land of my suffering. And he enables us to be fruitful in the land and in the midst of suffering in our life. And how are we to be fruitful? By producing the fruit of the Spirit. Of love and joy and peace, of being fruit. Jesus said we be fruitful in the fruit that will last. And the fruit that lasts is that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And I'll tell you, patience in the midst of suffering is a hard one. Joy in the midst of suffering is a hard one. And to have that fruit being produced in our life through the Holy Spirit, but that's Ephraim. That's being fruitful in times of suffering. And that's one of the blessings. Only God can do that, friends. And when we trust in him, he will bring those showers of blessing in our life that way, by fruitfulness, even in suffering. By forgetting, helping us to forget all the dysfunction and pain and failures of the past. Something to rejoice in and to give thanks for those showers of blessing in our life and what we can learn from it. And God also pours out his blessings, and that he opens the storehouse of blessing to all who call on his name. Verses 53 to 57 tells us that when the 7 year of abundance came to an end, the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph said they would, just as God had revealed it to Pharaoh in his dream, and Joseph interpreted that. The famine not only extended to Egypt, but extended to other lands. In the whole land of Egypt, there was food, but all around the other lands, people began to feel the famine, and they cried out to Pharaoh. And they came to Pharaoh as the king and said, "We're hungry. Feed us, do something." And look at Pharaoh's answer. He said, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." That's the trust he had in him. Go to him and do what he tells you. And so the people came to Joseph, and he sold them food and got them through those 7 years. It says Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, opened the storehouse of blessing and provided. One of the lessons we learn from this is that God opens a storehouse of his blessing to all who call on him. To all who come to him as the true king and provider, he will open those blessings for us and pour them out upon us. And when God gives his blessings, his storehouse in heaven cannot be exhausted. The grain in his storehouse, the provision in his storehouse will never, ever run dry and never will be exhausted and goes beyond measure. And he gives those resources to us when we call. Maybe those resources are spiritual. Maybe you need spiritual blessings poured out upon you. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's a financial. But whatever those needs are, we can call on him and trust him that he will provide them in his way. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I'll give you some time to turn there. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 9. How do we receive these blessings from God? Pharaoh said, go to Joseph and ask him. And they asked Joseph, and he opened the storehouses of blessings and gave. Listen to what Jesus said. We know these words, but Matthew chapter 7. Everybody there? It says, "Ask, and it will" what? "Be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks doesn't receive." Is that what it says? You're with me. Good. "Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be opened. And which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? And if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So when we ask him in faith, he will pour out storehouses of blessing and send the showers of blessing in our life that we can't even begin to imagine, just as he did for Joseph in ways that he could not imagine, because our God does more than we're able to imagine, think, or dream of. But we need to ask and believe that when we ask, we will receive. But when we ask, we need to ask knowing that he will give it to us. But turn with me to James chapter 3. We need to ask with the right heart. James chapter 3. Chapter 4, sorry. James chapter 4, verse 2. The last part of the verse says, "You cannot have because you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." So the Lord was talking to James there, and some people were coveted about what some other people had. And James said, "You don't have it because you didn't ask God. And you didn't receive it because when you did ask, because you didn't ask with the right heart." So the Lord wants us to ask him, but what we do to be in the right spirit, in submission to his will, and not in a selfish motive, but asking that he pour out his blessing upon us, that what we need he will provide in ways that we can never imagine, because his storehouses are vast. One last scripture in Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, you'll find this if you go to Matthew and then turn back to the beginning of the Bible, one book, and you'll come to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. And listen again to the word of the Lord. Verse 10, Malachi says, through the Lord says to Malachi, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not even have enough room for it. He says, I will do that. Test me in that. But trust me, give to me. And ask, and I will open those storehouses of blessing and pour out such, you won't even have enough room to contain it. And that's what was happening here. The people went to Joseph. They asked. He opened the storehouse God provided and got them through those 7 years. And they were not in need. They survived. God was provided what they needed through that hard time and through those difficult times. And those times of spiritual famine in our life, those times when we feel dry and famished and spiritual dryness in our life, call out to the Lord. He will fill those blessings and send the refreshing in our life that we need. So God blessed Joseph because he was faithful and diligent in his service that he did. He trusted him. And as he trusted him in the midst of hardship, God enabled him to forget the pain of the past and enabled him to be fruitful even in times of suffering. And God used him to open up the storehouse of blessing to others who call on his name. And the same as God makes our life as well a channel of blessing that God can work through us to be a blessing to someone else in need. The 7 years of famine were intense. The word was spreading throughout. The famine was extending through all the other land and all the other countries around Egypt. Egypt was provided for because of Joseph's leadership. But next week, we're going to find out as the story continues, the famine hit so hard that back home in the land of Canaan, they began to get hungry. And Jacob hears that there's food in the land of Egypt. So he sends the brothers down to Egypt to buy food. They're going to get down there and they're going to bow before Joseph in fulfillment of that dream. And how does Joseph respond? Does he wring his hands and say, nah, now I'm going to make you pay? Or how does he respond? That's where we pick up the story next week, leaving you wanting more. But that is what happens as we continue the story. But God showers his blessings upon us as we trust him and as we serve. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you provide. Showers a blessing in our life when you bless our service that is done in your name that is faithful. When we use the gifts that you've given us, whether it's faith, whether it's service, whether it's giving, whether it's administration, whether it's prayer, whether it's encouragement, whatever it is those gifts you give us, when we are faithful and diligent in using them for you, you bless that and you multiply it. And Lord, just as the story of the steward who used the gifts that you've given him and doubled it and you were blessed, but the one who took that gift and he buried it and he hoarded it, and you were not pleased with that on the day of accounting. And so, Lord, may we be faithful in using the gifts that you've given us and all that you've entrusted us with, that we are good stewards of those resources and use them well for you, because you bless us and you bless others through that. And Father, we thank you for the blessings in our life when we trust in you, that you enable us to forget the pain of the past, that you forget our sin, you forget all those things when we confess them to you, and you enable us to forget that pain and realize that we are new in you, that old life has passed away, that you enable us to be fruitful in the times of suffering. And in the midst of suffering, we can be fruitful for you. And the fruit of your Spirit being produced in us and our life can flourish even in midst of hardship. And Father, we thank you as well that when we call on you and call on your name and ask, you open the storehouses of your blessing and you give us blessings such as we cannot even imagine or contain and overflow to us, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. So thank you, Lord, and I pray that you'd pour out the showers of your blessing on each person here, on our congregation individually and locally, and together, Lord, that we would be living under the showers of your blessing and that as you bless us, that our lives would be a blessing to those that you bring into our life this week. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.